Matthew chapter 1, and we'll begin reading in verse 18. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Amen. Good morning. Heavenly Father, bless your word now to our hearts. Thank you for the beauties, the wonders, the miraculous power, and the great love that you've shown to us in the birth of your Son, the death of your Son, the resurrection of your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. The Son of God has many precious and wonderful names in the Scriptures. He's called the Day Spring on from on High, the Bright and Morning Star, the Day Star from on High. Those are just the Light of the World. Those are just the names that have to do with Him being the Light of God, the express image of His person, the brightness of His glory. He has many other names in the Scripture as well. The Lion of the Tribe of Judah, the Root of David, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, so many other names. But as we read the beginning chapter of the New Testament, we read here two names given to us. His name shall be called Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, Jesus is the English translation. In the Greek, in which the New Testament was written, it would be Jesus. And in the Hebrew, the name Jesus would be Yeshua. We call Joshua, but he had the name Yeshua. And then we read the name Emmanuel, which being interpreted in this passage, means God with us. Now, we read of different Jesuses, even in the New Testament. It was a common name. It was the name of the prophet, the judge of Israel, who after Moses died, brought the children of Israel into the land of promise, Yeshua. But in nowhere in the Scripture is anyone ever named Emmanuel, only Jesus. And that's because no one else was ever God with us. And so, in Bible days, names had a special meaning. They had a teaching with them. This is especially true in the case of the Lord Jesus. The names of God teach us His nature, and they teach us His ways. The name Yahweh, which is interpreted nowadays a crude, vulgar German translation, is Jehovah. But the actual name is Yahweh. There, in neither the Hebrew nor the Greek language, is there the letter J. It's in the Greek, you would say the name Jesus is I-E-S-U-S. Jesus, for Jesus' name. And, you didn't say Jerusalem back in Jesus' day. It was Jerusalem. Or Jerusalem, the city of peace. And so, his name is called Wonderful. And we read in Isaiah 9:6, his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, You know, isn't it, his name reveals so much about him. Just the name when it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful. Well, isn't the Lord Jesus so wonderful? Isn't he so sweet and precious? He's a revelation of the loving, compassionate heart of God for sinners like you and me. How he is wonderful to save us. His birth is wonderful. His life was wonderful. His death for our sins is wonderful. His resurrection from the dead is wonderful. His words were wonderful. His deeds are wonderful. So much about him is wonderful. And the most wonderful thing about it is, the more we walk with him, the more we know him, the longer we serve him, the more wonderful he is. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. More wonderful, as we understand more of how wretched we were and how loving he was to save us. How wonderful he is. And Counselor, nobody ever taught like Jesus. Nobody ever helped like Jesus. Nobody ever shared the truth like Jesus. You know, so many people today will tell you what you want to make you feel better. Jesus told you what you needed to know so that you might be saved. And if you were saved, he told you what you needed to know that you might walk closer to God, that you might be know what it is to love God, to serve God, and to understand what pleases God. And so he's Counselor. And then he's the Mighty God. And isn't that what Emmanuel means? God with us. Well, if God is with us, then that means all the power of the universe is with us. You know, even the weakest or the youngest Christian who gets on their knees before God in the name of Jesus causes hell to tremble. Because they're plugging into the great power that made all things out of absolutely nothing. He made all things by his mere... He spoke it by his word. He didn't need to, but he just wanted us to know how powerful his word is. But he could have merely wished it into existence. He could have merely willed it into existence. And he didn't have to take 6 days to do it. He did that. He took 6 days for creation, a seventh day to rest, to show us an example about us ceasing from our own works, entering into his rest, which is Jesus. Remember, Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He's called the mighty God. He's called the Everlasting Father. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and my Father are one. And so no wonder he's called the Everlasting Father. And then it closes that passage with the Prince of Peace, the Prince of Tranquility, the Peace of Serenity. There is no peace like knowing that God loves you, that he has forgiven you all your sins once for all forever. They're washed away in the blood of his Son, Jesus. When you get to heaven, you will stand in the righteousness, clothed in the beautiful robe of Christ's righteousness, and you will not see even the least of your sins ever again. Now, in heaven, God says, come now, the good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord. And that's not because of how good you are. It's because of how good Jesus was for you. That he offered his life, the perfect sacrifice, completely acceptable to God, the perfect life. Not only just perfect as far as moral goes, but the two greatest commandments mentioned in the scripture. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. You know, this great commandment, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You know, Jesus loved us better than we loved ourselves. He went beyond the commands. You know, no earthly human being except the Son of God, who is a heavenly being who became an earthly human being, imperfect, born of a virgin. And so the wonderful thing about it is that he had not only a perfectly righteous life, perfectly holy, but he went over and above the commandments. He loved sinners better than he loved himself. The Bible says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Well, Jesus loved us better than himself because he died on Calvary for us. He died the most torturous, vicious, savage, painful death because of our sins. When that movie came out, The Passion of the Christ, you heard people arguing. The Jews were saying, we're not guilty of the blood of Christ. It was the Romans. And then the other people said, no, it was the Jews who delivered him up to Pilate. The Jews killed him. I can tell you right now, the killers of Jesus are in this room. It's you and me. Our sins brought him out of heaven. Our sins brought him to earth. Our sins put him on the cross. When you say, who spit in his face? Do we not spit in his face every time we know we're doing something wrong? Every time we say something wrong, do we do it anyway? It was us. We killed him. It was our sins that put him on the cross. And he loves us anyways. Hallelujah. His name is called Yeshua, or Jesus, because he shall save his people from their sins. His name is called Emmanuel, because he is God with us. And no one else will ever be God with us. No one else was ever before. And no one else but Jesus ever will be again. The deity of the Lord Jesus is mentioned in this chapter. In these names of Christ. He is God with us. The Word of God clearly and repeatedly tells us that Jesus is God in the flesh. He was God revealed in human form. He's the Son of God. And when he told the people in his day, I am the Son of God, they said, that's blasphemy. Because you saying that, you make yourself equal with God. Absolutely. The Bible says that the Father and the Holy Spirit are pleased that in Jesus all the fullness dwells. In him he has all the preeminence. He is much more than the greatest prophet or teacher or speaker the world has ever heard. He's far more righteous than the holiest angels or the cherubim and seraphim or other heavenly creatures. He's far more holy. He's infinite in his holiness. His majesty far exceeds all earthly kings or emperors. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. He is worshipped by all these heavenly beings for his infinite power, his infinite holiness, his infinite wisdom, beauty, glory. And because of his sacrifice for sinners like you and me, he's glorified for his love as well. The Bible tells us many times that God's Son is the Almighty. He is the all-knowing. He's the ever-present creator, sustainer, monarch over all things. He's omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient God. As we read, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government, that's the government of his universe, is on his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And we could just point out almost on every page of the New Testament that Jesus is God. Into the Jewish race Jesus came, Romans chapter 5 tells us that these words, according to the flesh, into the Jewish race, according to the flesh, the Christ came, who is over all, the eternally blessed God. Amen. That's one of my favorite verses about Christ being God. And here's some more. For by him, the Lord Jesus, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers, all things were created through him and for him. Again, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. That word manifest means revealed, made known, clearly seen. That Christ is God in flesh. Read Hebrews 1:8 and you'll hear these words, you'll see these words. To the Son, he says, that is the Father, to the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. And again, 1 John tells us, we have many, many verses we could read. We know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Amen. The scripture says that all power belongs to God's Son. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, He says, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every nation. Amen. All power belongs to Him. It has pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. And then again, the scriptures teach all judgment belongs to Him. You remember not only the book of Revelation, but the writings of the other apostles, that it's the judgment seat of Christ, that He is judge over all. He's the judge over all, because He's God over all. He created all things, and in Him all things consist and have their being. The Bible says He is before all things. He's the head of the body, which is the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. He's above all things. It's at the name of Jesus that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess, even the demonic world, the fallen angels, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's boss, He's master, He's the monarch, He's king over all. In Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, the Bible says. And goes on to say, and you are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power. It's amazing how when we're in Christ, the most wonderful things are said about believers. For we are accepted in Him. We're seated together in heavenly places in Him. We are complete in Him. He is our life. He's our righteousness. He's our holiness. He's our everything, our wisdom. He had all that to give away to us, for He was already God. And when He lived that perfectly holy, loving, beautiful life, that life what He had to give to us. And that's how God the Father sees us. In all the righteousness of Christ, the love of Christ, the wonderfulness of Christ. In Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him. And in the book of Revelation, He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I am the first and the last, He goes on to say. I am the first and the last. I am He who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. Now, a lot of sinners and some Christians may think, well, Jesus is the king over everything, but Satan is the king over hell. No, Jesus is king over hell too. Satan is just his little dirty monkey. And he's on a leash. And he can't do anything or go anywhere unless Christ allows him to. He's the king. And then secondly and lastly, before we apply the message, we not only see the Lord Jesus as God, the deity of Christ, He is God with us, but we see the closeness of our Lord Jesus to us. He is God with us, beside us, for us. And that's what it means, He's God with us. It's the greatest vote you ever, the greatest blessing and possession you have is that God is for you and that He's with you. We were talking about Romans 8 this morning. We were talking about our favorite Bible verses and how it says in that Romans 8 passage, if God be for us, who can stand against us? He's with us. And so the Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, it talks about greater is and fear not the devil. Don't fear the world. Don't be afraid. For He who is in you is greater than the world. Is greater than anything you'll face. And that's why we as Christians should be so blessed and happy. Because no matter what life is going to throw at us, God is with us. His strength, His comfort, His peace, His wisdom to guide us, His power to see us through. You know, sometimes we have to walk a path where we don't know, we can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. It seems all hope is lost. Our hearts are broken over the loss of a loved one or a friend. We're going through extreme crisis, maybe financial, maybe with our health. But if God is with us, greater is He who is in us than he who is in the world. He'll give grace for our trials. He'll give wisdom for our decisions. He'll give us victory over our enemies. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. And if they, it's like this man who thought he would scare this preacher I used to listen to. He's in heaven now, but this guy went up to him and said, put a gun in his tummy and said, I'm going to blow your brains out unless you quit preaching. And Dr. Rice looked over his glasses, kind of like a grandfatherly figure, looked at me. He said, well, if you're going to blow my brains out, you might have to lift your gun a little bit higher. And he said this to him. He said, listen, son, you can't scare me with heaven. You can't scare me with heaven. So even if our enemies prevail in taking our physical life, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. He was just the grim butler that led us into our heavenly mansion. In my Father's house. Oh, that's where my home is. That's where the one who loves me, provides for me, teaches me, guides me, protects me. That's where He is, in my Father's house. The closeness of our Lord Jesus to us. The New Testament shows us how near our great Creator is to us. How near is He? We are bone of His bones, flesh of His flesh. We are His sheep, He's our shepherd. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. God with us. And it's a shadow. It's not real. There can only be a shadow when there's light, and Jesus is that light. So when we walk through that valley, we'll not be afraid. He is with us. He became like us. He took on our form and the likeness of our flesh to stand as our sacrifice, to take our place as our substitute, to bear the penalty of our sins that we deserve. The wages of sin is death. But He died for us. And so Romans goes on to say the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He is God with us to make us His own bride, bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh. He is the vine, we are the branches. He's the husband, we are the bride. He's the sheep and the shepherd. He is the most familial. And not only that, but we are His body. He is the head and we are members of His body. He is God with us and in us and for us. Amen. What a precious gift that was when God gave us His Son. What a precious gift He is and how precious He grows more and more every day. As God alone, He had infinite majesty. The angels sing His praises all the time. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is and evermore shall be. Holy art Thou, O Lord. That was His song by the most beautiful beings with the most wonderful voices and the most beautiful musical songs. And they made heaven to echo singing His praises. As God alone, He has infinite majesty. But as God with us, we see not only His infinite majesty, but His infinite mercy. How such a great and wonderful God could love people like you and me, could come and spend time with a wretch like me, would share His precious truths of His Word, let me have access to Him all I want through prayer, and is with me walking all the time. You see, because the Bible says, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. He's my God. Just as much as I'm His creation. He's mine. He's God with us. And he says, I will walk in them. We have the gift of the sweet Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. He is God. He's co-eternal, co-equal with the Father and with the Son. And he lives in us. Jesus said, I give you the Holy Spirit, and he shall abide in you. How long? Forever. Forever. And it's his gift, this person and work of the Holy Spirit in us, who teaches us to pray, who brings us to a longing of his word, who makes us want to love him and serve him and be faithful to him. As God in his, as God, we see he has infinite glory. But as God with us, we see his infinite grace. As God alone, he strikes us with terror. But as God with us, he inspires us with hope, with strength, with comfort, with assurance, with everything we need. When he said, I'll be a father to the fatherless. I'll be a husband to the widow. I'm a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And he says, when you think you're alone, when all your friends turn their backs and run out on you, or run away from you, I am one who sticks closer than a brother. I am a friend indeed. And so, we have all these wonderful things because not only is he God with all the power of the universe, seeing everything, hearing everything, even hears the heartbeat of a squirrel on the lonely mountain. He hears the path cut by the smallest fish in the ocean. He sees everything. He knows everything. He knows it before it happens. And he's with us. We should be of all people the most assured, the most secure, the most happy, the most joyful people. You know, when he came, he said of himself, this man says, I follow you wherever you go. Jesus said, the foxes have holes and the birds have nests, but the Son of God has no place to rest his head. He did that for us because he was God with us. And he becomes our rest. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He who had all the riches became poor that we through his poverty might become rich. I'm quoting scriptures here to you. I'm paraphrasing it a little bit. But that's what it teaches. That he's all we need. What amazing humility and condescension. That God, who made all things, should assume the nature of one of his own creatures. Not a seraph nor an angel, but he was made like unto us. He was God with us while he walked here. He's still God with us. The Creator robed himself in human flesh so that he might suffer what we deserved, that he might bear our sorrows and sins and die in our place. And Betty was talking about Isaiah 53 this morning. He was crushed for our iniquities. He was broken for our sins. The assurance of our peace was it placed on him. And by his stripes we are healed. He bore it. He took it for us that we might never have to answer to any of it again. He carried our hell that he might carry us to heaven. He said, I thirst, so that we might have the water of everlasting life. The cross, it became so dark. And that's just because so that we might enter into his light. So many paradoxes and so many wonderful things about him. God is with us in such near relation that he's touched. The Bible says our great high priest is touched. That means his heart is sensitive. He's touched with the feelings of our weaknesses. He knows our trials and temptations. He's moved in love for our souls every day. He is our ever-present helper in all our storms and all our trials. He is more than God above us. He is God with us. And he's God for us. If God be for us, who can be against us? Remember, even if we're led as sheep to the slaughter, what does the Bible close with in Romans 8? The Bible closes in Romans, the chapter closes with these words. Yea, in him, in through Christ, we are more than conquerors to him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor things present, nor things to come, nor principalities, nor power, nor any other part of creation shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That he is God with us and for us. It's what it means. He, you know, when it comes down to it, why did Jesus save you? Why did God the Father send his Son? Why did the sweet Holy Spirit of God come and tell your heart when you heard the story? You better listen. It's true. God sent his Son. You're on your way to hell and you need Jesus. Why did he make it so real to us but that we might come to God through Christ and have fellowship with him? We're meant to have fellowship with him forever. We're meant to walk with God and talk with God and pour out our hearts before him. And he already knows every little thing about us. So, you know, to share our soul, our heart's desires with him. This is why God has made us. That we might fellowship with him and glorify him for who he is and what he's done for our souls. Now we got to close with the implications of this truth. And quickly, as we close, how can we apply these truths to ourselves? Number one, we see here that the Lord Jesus is the greatest wonder of all. He is more glorious and more powerful than all the trillions of angels he's made. And yet he came to us. He came to us in such loving pity that he died for our eternal souls. He not only came to dwell with us, but inside of our inmost being forever and ever. Christ in you, the Bible says, the hope of glory. I like that verse in Galatians. I almost shared it this morning, Galatians 2:20, where Paul wrote, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life now that I live now according to the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20. And there's so many precious verses in Scripture, so many wonderful passages to assure us of this. You know, Jesus is, somebody said, Jesus is as close as the mention of his name. Well, he's even closer than that. He's in us, dwelling in the person and work of the Holy Spirit. He's for us. In his name, we have power to drive away all the legions of hell itself, Satan himself, as we claim the name and the power of the blood of Christ. We are invincible. Say, well, they could still kill us. Yeah, they could kill the body. But you remember the verse? You can quote it with me. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And by the way, one day we get our body back too. So we lose nothing in the deal. A body that is made immortal, incorruptible, powerful, not as powerful as Christ. He's infinite. But we will never die. Our bodies will never suffer. There'll be no more pain. I'll get my hair back, Victor. Amen. I won't be missing any of my teeth. All the scars on my face will be gone. I my left knee won't ache when it gets cold outside. Amen. So I get to have that too. And so secondly, the Lord Jesus has drawn near to you so that you might draw near to him. How close do you want to walk with Jesus? He's available today. He's not only free for sinners. Come and believe and be saved. He's not only free for sinners, he's free for you, believer. Come to him as you are, to him as he is. And he'll fellowship with you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you, James tells us. Draw near to him in sweet and fervent love. We could never love Jesus too much. You know, I've heard the saying they've said about a believer. Oh, he's too heavenly minded. He's no earthly good. Let me tell you something. If you want to be really earthly good, be more heavenly minded. If you're going to pray for me, the more heavenly minded you are, the closer you are to Jesus, the better it is. Amen. So draw near to Him. Pour out the secrets of your heart to Him. He knows them already. Cry and fuss over your sins and your burdens to Him. Or just talk to Him and let Him know everything. He already knows anyways. If the Lord did not love you so very much, He would not have left heaven to be with you. It's like when I go to the store, I have a 7-Eleven I like to go to on my way to work. Don't always go there, but if I'm in a rush before I go to work, they're open 24 hours. I can stop in there and get a couple bananas or soda pop or juice and go to work. The more they see me, the more they like me. The more, if you were an owner of a store and you had customers that kept coming back and seeing you, you build a relationship. You smile. They know. You get to know their kids' names. They get to know about you. And the more you come, the more welcome you are. Well, what do you think about your Heavenly Father, your Lord Jesus? Well, I might be praying too much. I'm fussing too much to Him. I don't know that He likes seeing me all the time at the throne of grace. No, no. The more you come and the closer you get, the more He loves to see you. Amen? Amen. He never gets tired of hearing you talk. No. Nope. You ever got tired of hearing people talk? Maybe you had a headache. Maybe you weren't feeling well. Maybe you had to go somewhere. God never gets tired. And the more you come, the more welcome you are. Amen. Lastly, if God's Son is not with you, remember His name Emmanuel, God with us. If God's Son is not with you, if He's not in your soul, you're still bearing your sins. You need to come to Him. You need to say, Lord Jesus, I want to be with You. I want You to forgive me all my sins. I want You to take away my ugliness and my hell. Lord Jesus, You died for sinners like me. You rose again for a sinner like me. Lord Jesus, I believe in You. I believe that You and You alone can save sinners like me. I believe You died for sinners like me. Yes, Jesus, I want to be Your child. I want You to be my Savior. And then He'll be with you forever and ever. If you turn your heart to Jesus, even now, to take away your sins, in that instant, you're His forever child. If you know the Savior, you have every reason to rejoice. He is God with you. He is God in you. And He is God for you forever and ever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You for loving us and leaving heaven for us. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You so loved us that You gave us Your only begotten Son. Holy Spirit, we thank You for reminding us of Scriptures and helping us to pray and teaching us Your Word and using it to give us hope and comfort and strength. Holy Spirit, everything we know about Christ is because You've taught us. You have assured us that He's real. We know that He is real. We know that our sins have been forgiven. All these wonderful things that seem so unbelievable, we know they're true. Thank You, Holy Spirit, for bringing us to that faith and knowledge. Lord, we pray You bless Your message to us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.